Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today I want to speak to the 8 keys to break the cycle of maternal narcissism when you become a mother yourself. And stay tuned till the very end, because at the very, very end I'm going to give you an extra little one, an extra key that I think is the one that makes the difference completely. So yeah, I'm going to leave that for the end. So to give a proper introduction to this episode, I want to say that a couple of weeks ago, I received a request by a wonderful woman in the audience for an episode on parenting. And she was open to me reading her email to you in this episode, which I want to say I totally appreciate, because it's a big help for everyone to understand the request. But I also want to add, it's absolutely anonymous and also not necessary. So if you feel like sending me your questions or your shares, I want to let you know that I do not automatically go on and share them in the episode unless you are okay with it. And if you're not, I totally understand. So I wanted to say this to keep this container absolutely safe. And at the same time, I super appreciate how this lovely lady allowed me to share her email. So before I get into the topic, I'm going to read it to you. Here it goes. So that's the email. Firstly, I just want to say thank you for your podcast. I think you're absolutely amazing and have listened to every episode you've released. I've had a request for a topic for some time, but was unsure whether to send it to you or not. But I realized this morning that there may be other women feeling the same as me who it could help. And I want to put in brackets here, yes to that. As I often say here, every question and share helps not only you, but also gives voice to those that don't yet feel comfortable doing so. It is so important and appreciated, so thank you. Okay, I'm going to continue with the email. The topic I'd really like help with is how you develop as a mother yourself when you have experienced a narcissistic mother. I only had the light bulb moment of realizing my mother was narcissistic when I became a mother myself. Although I knew there were lots of things about my childhood and teenage years that made me feel sad, I didn't identify it correctly until I had my own child. I have good boundaries with her now myself, purely as a result of your podcast. But the thing I struggle with the most is being terrified of repeating the behavior with my own child and making him feel the way I felt as a little girl. I'm not a narcissistic person, but occasionally if I am feeling overwhelmed, I snap at him. It's like sometimes I hear my mother coming out of my mouth, and I absolutely hate that. I always make sure to apologize and repair with him, but it leaves me feeling hugely guilty and upset. I am a very different mother to the mother she was to me, and ironically, she is a much better grandmother to him than she was mother to me, but I'm absolutely terrified of repeating the cycle. It would be so useful to have an episode talking about how you separate your own practices approach as a mother from the narcissistic mothering that was modeled to you. I appreciate that you must get loads of requests and understand if this is not possible, but I thought I would ask. That was the email. And thank you again for doing so. Thank you for asking and sending this request. I want to respond for a moment to that last line as well, the one where you say, if it's not possible, you understand. I will always do my best to respond to all the emails I get. This is something that is very important to me. It's a really strong intention of mine. And to address the requests in the podcast when that is required, when that is asked. Sometimes it may be an entire episode, like in this case, or it can be a topic within a topic. But my intention is never to ignore any of you reaching out. I've been on the other side. I've had mentors that were very open for people to reach out in the beginning, and then they got too busy, they got too popular, they got enough followers or whatever, and they stopped answering questions and honoring the emails, and there's no judgment. I don't mind whatever they felt was right by them, but being on the other side, that just, yeah, it, that I felt that and I didn't like that. So my intention is to, as much as possible, as much as it's available for me, to be here and respond to any of you who are reaching out. So with that said, let's get to the episode. This topic is really close to my heart, and I'm going to share why in a minute. Parenting is one of the areas in life, along with long-term intimate relating, where we can get the most challenged, but also where the biggest opportunities for growth lie. And I really believe that to my very core. Yet, it needs to be approached with as much awareness as possible, because as parents, we are responsible for this human and his or her precious heart. And the reason this topic is so close to my heart is that my journey into understanding maternal narcissism started more because of my relationship with my daughters than the one with my mother, actually. And that is because even without knowing my mother was a narcissist, I still didn't want to be like her as a mother. I knew how much I had suffered as a child, and I didn't want my children to ever go through the same. I was determined to be different from my mother as a mother myself. But good intentions only brought me so far. Superficially, it looked as if I was succeeding, that I was being a different mother. I was doing things differently, or I felt I was doing things differently from what my mother did. Yet my daughter's behavior was off, especially with my eldest daughter, and I couldn't understand why. I couldn't connect with her and or with both of them as much as I wanted to, and I felt hurt and rejected every time, especially with my eldest daughter. And I'm going to asterisk that for a moment. There is a few years between my daughters, and a lot of my awareness and inner work came into fruition when with my second child. So it's not that I have favorites at all. But the reason I'm speaking about my eldest specifically is because she took the worst of me in the first few years of her life. And so more work needed to be done to heal that relationship, and I had to own a lot up to her. So that's why you'll hear me talking especially about her. Yeah, I wanted to say that. So when she shut me out, I felt the hurt and I felt the rejection, and I felt she should understand how I felt and that she should behave better. Which, even saying it out loud, it's horrendous. This came from thinking that after all, I was so much better than my mother, and still she didn't get me, so what the hell, there must have been something wrong with her. I used to say things such as, this is nothing compared to what I've been through, you know, can't you not see that? I'm doing for you what my mother has never done for me, so appreciate it, you know, like forcing her, wanting her to appreciate. And all of that was wrapped up in a lot of frustration. As you can well imagine, this was not working at all. And I had to go deep. I really had to go deep on that, because I really wanted that relationship to work. So going deeper, I realized that beneath all of the entitlement that I felt with my daughter, that entitlement that came out when I wanted her to get me, instead of me getting her, I wanted her to get me. That's entitlement. And that is a narcissistic trait. That is a narcissistic behavior. So I was repeating the patterns, even if I was doing it wrapped up in a different paper. The gift I was given was the same. So underneath the entitlement, I found so much grief and shame. I felt a shame of how much of a failure I was as a mother and as a person in general. That's how I felt inside. I felt ashamed. I realized during that period that what we say and do matter very little compared to the energy behind it. And my daughter was and still is a perfect mirror of where I am and where I'm at with my energy as I relate to her, which I am extremely grateful for. It's an amazing mirror, because if her behavior is off, I know there's some shit within myself I'm not dealing with. And once you realize that, you can get place. So I could tell her I loved her. Something that my mother hardly ever did. I wish my mom never did that to me. She never told me she loved me. Unless she was trying to guilt me into something, which is different. And so because I told her I loved her, I could feel so good about being such a better mother. But if the energy I came from when I said that was shame, guilt, neediness, my daughter would react and she would not receive it. Simple as that. As daughters of narcissistic mothers, we run into the risk of following the same parenting patterns. We can do that either directly doing the same as our mothers did. In some cases, we do that out of complete lack of awareness, or because we know it's the same, but we feel but we feel more justified than our mothers were. I'm going to give you an example. My mother left me with my grandparents most of the time when I was a child. So I was raised by them as she went to work. And then she went out to dinners and then she did whatever she wanted to do. But she left me at home. So I suffered that distance a lot. She wouldn't be home for meals or collect us at school or ever going everywhere with us, you know, school plays or things like that. She was never in the audience. She never did anything that was part of our life, myself and my sister. Yet, and I thought that was terrible, and I really suffered that. Yet, I ended up doing the same with both my kids when they were small. But I felt it was entirely different from my mother, because I felt I really needed to do it. You know, I was justified in doing that, and I didn't leave them with grandparents, but I left them with their dad. Turns out, the energy behind it was the exact same. A total incapacity of being myself, and as a result of being with myself, and as a result of that, an incapacity of being with them, and a need to suppress my sense of inadequacy through a job I hated, but kept me busy most of the time, and kept me away from them. Now I've stopped beating myself up for that a good while ago, but the moment I became aware of the mechanism, that was important, because change started happening. So that was to give you an example of how we can just do the exact same things that her mother did, but we feel like we are entirely justified in doing that. Some reflections need to be done, needs to happen there. Another way we can repeat the cycle is by parenting as a reaction to the parenting we receive. So something like that, if we were neglected, we end up smothering our child. If we were given too many rigid rules, we end up offering no guidance to our children. If we were left alone a lot, we end up giving no space to our children, and so on. So again, becoming aware of this can truly help breaking the cycle, because parenting as a reaction, it still comes from the same energy and the child feels that. Before we go deeper into this episode, I want to say that I am by no means a parenting expert. So what follows comes from my own experience as a mother for 13 years, research, and a lot of observation during a 10-year period of time where part of my work involved working very closely with kids. So I put all of that together create this episode. Also, this is a very vast topic, and I am not pretending to cover it all in one episode, like that would be crazy. So, but I'm going to do my best to offer some key points that have made a huge difference in my experience as a mother of two, and the way I tell if something makes a difference is by receiving feedback from my children. So that's like my telling point. If something is working, I see it in their behavior. And at this point, they're old enough to also tell me very openly. I have this dialogue with my kids. Like, they tell me if they feel something isn't resonating with them. They ask why I do things in a certain way, if they're not in agreement with it, and we have an open dialogue. So their behavior is always a mirror of my energy, and I really love that. So what I want to say about this episode, as always, is take what feels resonates with you and leave the rest. So as I said at the beginning, I want to give you eight key points that in my experience helped me, and I've seen them break the cycle of the pattern so that we don't behave somehow from the same energy of our narcissistic mothers, because that's what's been modeled. As the email says, how do we break from what has been modeled to them, to us? So we don't mean to do the same, but that's what we've seen, what we've observed, what we've been trained in since we were children. So it's very easy to fall into the same patterns, even if we're very well intentioned. So the first point is, your own inner work is essential. Getting to know yourself, your triggers, the wounds you carry, your coping strategies, your inner emotional world is all essential for your well-being and happiness, which in turn is essential for the well-being of your child. When you're stressed and unhappy, you become emotionally unavailable for your child. When you're disconnected from yourself, so even if you're physically there, but you're disconnected from yourself, your child can't feel you, can't feel the connection with you. You're unavailable. And that is not good. Also, there's to remember that children tend to take the responsibility. So if you're an emotionally unavailable, unhappy and stressed out all the time, they automatically think it's their fault, because they can't fault the parents. When you're a small child, your mother, your father, your parents are gods. Like, they're perfect. They have to be. It's part of that attachment needs. So we don't fault the parents, we fault ourselves. So that's how it's really, really important. You do your own inner work. You get to understand yourself. Now, do you have to be absolutely perfect and have it all sorted before you are a good parent? No, absolutely not. We're going to go into that, so bear with me. Point number two is becoming aware of inner judgments and the guilt and shame that go with them. All of that is inside of you. When we're not aware of that, of what is going on inside of ourselves, we can end up projecting a lot onto our child. I'm gonna give you an example from my own experience. I used to get so triggered when my daughter withdrew from a conversation, going inward and dissociating. It would send my frustrations level right up. I made it wrong with my energy, and I wanted to correct her behavior, which made things a lot worse. Obviously, she dissociated even more. And why did I do that? Because a part of me recognized in her behavior what I used to do in front of my mother when I felt unsafe, which got my mother to get very aggressive and abusive. So when my daughter behaved that way, a part of me felt that if I could correct that behavior, she would be safer in life. She would never suffer like I did. All the while, I was making her suffer with the energy of where I was coming from. So I was trying to protect her in a super twisted way, ultimately though repeating the same patterns as my mother. Underneath that, there was a feeling of guilt and shame for not being able to connect with my daughter like I should have been, like I felt I should have been, and shame for not being a good mother. So can you see how this is a lot to project on a child? When you become aware of all of that, things change quite for the better. Quite dramatically. When you witness your child reacting to you with a behavior that feels off, check in with your emotions. Seek to understand why you feel triggered rather than trying to change your child. And so from there, you can hold space for them. And everything becomes a lot safer. My daughter started opening so easily after that, after I realized that, and after I started questioning myself, my own triggers, inquiring within and from that point on, I could hold space for her in a completely different way. The third point is that your child behavior is not right or wrong. It is simply a manifestation of emotions they don't yet know how to deal with or have words for. So punishing a behavior, giving them time out, shouting, criticizing, joking at their expense is only going to increase the disconnection with themselves and the disconnection that you feel from your child. So be there for them, fully present, and let them know it is okay to feel how they feel, and lovingly ask, why is that? So the same way you've heard me saying in this podcast, lovingly ask yourself why you're reacting in a certain way. Why is it that you're feeling? Not because you're trying to fix your feelings or fix what your experience is, but because by asking that you get to know yourself better. The same process works with your child. So if your child is going through a behavior that you're like, what is happening? This is like super off as a behavior. Rather than trying to fix that, sit with them and open up to understand them by asking gently, why are you reacting this way? It's okay to react this way. It's okay to feel whatever it is you're feeling. I'm just wanting to know why. I'm trying to understand you. Like from that loving place rather than fixing. Point number four, your child doesn't need you to be perfect. Just so here we connect to what I was saying earlier. Your child doesn't need you to be perfect. That's really important. They need you to be there for them and to own up when you mess up, which can happen because you're human. We all do. Don't be afraid to apologize without trying to justify, because there's no need to justify. When you own up, just apologize. I've messed up. I behaved such and such. I forgot myself in that moment. I raised my voice. I'm sorry. There's no justification for that. I am just simply sorry. And ask, how did that make you feel? Again, you get to know them. You get to understand their inner experience and they feel safe with you. A narcissistic mother is never wrong, and she for sure never apologizes unless it's part of a manipulation to get what she wants. So she doesn't truly mean it even when she does. So when you apologize, when you own up, your child becomes safe and safer to be around you. When I was a toddler, I'm going to give you this little bit of my experience. My mother kept me in time out. It happened once. I was told, because I can't fully remember this. I was very small. But she kept me in time out, seated on a chair for ages, because I did something. Again, I don't remember what it was, but it was something I should not have done. And I did not want to apologize. And she told me, she made sure to tell me this story again and again to underline my innate stubbornness, because it took a long time for me to get off that chair. I don't even know to this day if I actually did apologize in the end, or if I just said it just to get the hell off that chair, possibly. But what I know is that I'm 39 now, and I've yet to hear my mother say the words "I'm sorry" once. Okay, I've never heard her apologize once. And I have often said, and I still think that I feel that despite all I've been through where my mother is involved, if she could just see it and admit it and apologize once, it would actually make things an awful lot better. And she never did, and I don't think she's going to. I learned in the meantime that you can't be waiting for a narcissistic mother to come around in order to be happy, or you'll be waiting for a very, very long time. So I don't care whether she apologizes or not, but that was really important information for my own relationship with my own children. So that's why I'm saying to you, you don't need to be perfect, but when you own it to your child and you apologize, it makes a massive difference. And also don't forget that what you do not model yourself, you can't expect from your child. My mother could keep me seated on that chair for days, but she's never said sorry to me. So how am I supposed to say sorry to her? Really meaning it, like whatever about saying the words just to get off the time out, but really meaning it. So that's important. Point number five, parenting is not about working on your child to shape them into what you want them to be. That's really key. It is a lot about becoming aware of your inner world and do your own inner work incessantly. This is a fundamental part of being devoted to your heart. And when you live devoted to your heart, you will have the utmost devotion and respect for the heart of your child. And your child is going to be safe. Point number six, your children learn their emotional intelligence from you. That's really, really important. This was a few years ago. I went to one of my mentors, which has been great for many, many things. But this time here, she gave me an advisor that I thought was like really off, which is fine. She's a human being too. But I was really triggered by the relationship with my eldest daughter, who at the time was quite small. She was maybe 5 or 6. I didn't know how to deal with her, how to connect with her. And obviously the guilt and shame that I mentioned went with it. I felt really bad as a mother about it. So I went to this mentor of mine to ask for advice. And she responded to me that as parents, we worry way too much about our children's behavior. But it doesn't actually reflect anything about the parents. It's just them. It's just their personality. And that's it. Now, I have to say that this mentor didn't have any children. So maybe wasn't the best person to go ask for advice. And that stayed with me because I'm like, what do you mean? Like, the parents have nothing to do with their children's personalities. So this is confirming everything my mother has always said to me, that it's not her fault that I'm such a bad, faulty child. So yeah, I did not take that advice at all. And I kept digging into my own inner world to figure out why it didn't work with my child. And I learned then, researching, reading, and listening to incredible teachers, that the child's brain develops mostly after birth, forming all the main pathways in the first 3 years, in the first 7 years. The first 7 years are very important, but the first 3 years in particular, all the pathways and connections within the brain are forming. So your own emotional intelligence is key at this point. As I mentioned, you can't expect what you haven't modeled. And that's why I'm saying your inner work is so, so, so essential. When you can be emotionally present and create a safe environment for your child in that period of time, like 90% of the work is done effectively. If you don't, then you're going to have to do work to catch up with that. Now, in the first 3 years of life of my eldest child, I was in a very difficult place. I was full of like anxiety, stress all the time. I was so scared of everything. I thought I was doing it all wrong. And we had to move country in a very traumatic way. And we had to move house actually a few times as well within that. So it was an absolute mess. And I worked a lot too. So when I learned later how important those years were and are, I cried a lot. I was heartbroken. I felt like I failed her. So if your children are older than that age and you're looking back going, oh my goodness, what have I done? I just want to say to you that no matter how old your children are or how much you feel you've messed up, you're never too late to own it up with them, to apologize, to ask them how it made them feel, and to do the necessary inner work within yourself and show up differently from now on. All of that matters. I know I did that with my daughter. I genuinely did all of that. And the change has been incredible, incredible, like amazing. So if you're looking back, there's no point in beating yourself up for what you weren't aware of. You were doing your absolute best in that moment, as you are doing your absolute best in every moment with the awareness you have in that moment. I mean, we can't do more than that. So don't beat yourself up for the past, but you can always shift it from this point on. Own up, apologize, inquire gently with your child. How did that make you feel? And do the work, change the patterns, change the behavior from this point on, and it's going to make the difference. Point number 7, beware of labels and any sort of boxing. We've had episodes on this. I've done a specific one on how to break free of the box your narcissistic mother put you into. Narcissistic mothers use labels, boxing. They use genetic as an excuse to box you and so on to control and limit their child. That's a manipulation. It's a way to stop the child developing their identity so you're enmeshed with your mother and she can control you. And so if you're here, chances are you have experienced some degree of that in your childhood, in your life. And so you might fall into the trap of repeating the same pattern. That happens. And again, no point beating yourself up. It's whatever your awareness is, that's, we do our best from there. So I realized in my own experience that I was using some labels to show how much I was a better mother and how much I knew my daughter. Like I could say things like, my daughter is so sensitive. She's such a sensitive child. Or my daughter is like me in this and that way. Or my daughter is completely not like me in this and that way. And I wasn't using such statements as put downs. That was not what I meant with those statements, was not a criticism, which makes it apparently different from what my mother used to do with me. But it's not if they're still labeled. And the energy behind them was the same. I was trying to hide from my shame, showing off I knew my daughter, so I was a good mom. So ultimately, the energy behind them was the same. And that's important to note. So using labels, it's never really a good thing. When we try to define someone in order to make them simpler to deal with, simpler to understand, and in order to ease up some shame, guilt, or crap that is going on inside of ourselves, that's never really good for the person receiving those labels. Also, beware of other types of labels, like diagnosis. This can happen, for example, if you feel you were not given enough attention by your mother when you were diagnosed something as a child, a reaction can be to be subconsciously eager to place such labels on your own child to show how much more caring than your mother you are. So this, we run into the risk of your child identifying with those labels, because also it becomes a way for your child to be loved by you. It's this, it forms this like weird connection through the diagnosis, and no healing can happen from there. It becomes very boxing, it becomes very limiting, and it's something to be careful of. Point number 8, tuning into your child is essential. A narcissistic mother is never tuned in with her child because she's constantly self-absorbed. She's actually not even tuned into herself because she's trying to block all the shame and bad feelings that, well, not bad because there aren't such things as bad feelings, but emotions that would be too intense for her to deal with. She's completely blocked all of that because of her own wounds, because of her own trauma. So she's not tuned in to herself, but she's definitely not tuning in to her child. It's all about projection. It's all about her needs. It's all about what she wants. Doesn't care. She doesn't care what the child needs or wants. So attunement is something that you haven't received, as in your mother was never tuned in to you. And so that can be a little bit tricky, but it is something that can be relearned and practiced. I had to relearn and practice that, because I really didn't know how to do that fully. I knew how to do it to an extent, but not fully. So start by reconnecting with your own inner world. Tune into it. Tune in with yourself, with what's real underneath the surface chatter. By doing this, you can tune into your child and their true needs, rather than what you might be projecting on them. For example, you might say something like, and don't take this personal. I want to give some examples to make it clear, but if that is something that is indeed happening to you, I'm not judging you. I've done this a million times and I still fall into that trap sometimes, so there's no judgment. That's just what we're doing when we're trying to do our best. So you could say something like, my child needs me all the time. And the challenge in here is it really true? Or is that your projection? You know, maybe you felt like you needed your mother all the time because she was not there for you. And now you're projecting your need onto your child, for your child to need you all the time. And you show up as a great mother. So you see how you can risk not tuning into what your child really needs, but you're actually just projecting what's happening within you onto your child. Or you could say, for example, my child is very awkward around people or is very shy or whatever, when it's not your child, but you who feels uncomfortable with people. So this is a projection of you that can risk to become a label for your child. So like that, when we make statements or when we're thinking we know our children really, really well, are we really tuning into their needs or are we just projecting a lot? Again, no judgment here. This happens. It's just important to bring your awareness to it. Tuning into your child beyond all the filters your own experiences and wounds is absolutely essential for your child being able to develop their own identity and become autonomous as an adult, which is what we need to do as parents. Like, I mean, our goal is to have our children being autonomous, self-loving, self-respecting, and also respecting of others, human beings. So that's what we're striving for. So I could go on more on this topic. And if you feel like sharing your experience with me, or if you have questions, both about aspects I touched on or ones I didn't include, please reach out. As you know, always my email is in the description of this episode, so you can reach out with your experiences and with your questions. And if I haven't mentioned something that you feel is very relevant, please let me know, and I'm going to make sure I add it into another episode. So the last thing I want to say, I said at the beginning of the episode that there's something that for me is an absolute key. Like, all these points I've made are really, really, truly important, and they're all points that is worth stopping for a moment, reflecting, maybe listening to this again, journal about this, journal about each point, see how you're behaving, you know, feel into your own experience with your children. But there's one thing that is absolute key, like that is like the key above all others, and it's a key sign that you're not repeating the same cycle of patterns as your mother. And that key sign is that you're here today listening to this. This means you're questioning yourself as a mother, and not questioning yourself because because of your lack of confidence or because of shame or guilt, not because of that, but because you want to be a better mother. You are showing, by doing that, you're showing the amazing love you have for your child or children, and you're here to be not just the better mother, but ultimately the best version of yourself each day, which includes being a better mother. It's about always expanding and always improving, not to fix yourself because you're faulty or broken, but because this is the part of being devoted to your life, to your well-being, to happiness, devoted to your heart. And being devoted to your heart means being devoted to the heart of others, and your child is one of those people. So a narcissistic mother is never wrong or humble. She never puts her own behavior in question. She's never taking full responsibility of her words or actions, and surely she never apologizes. So being here and doing that, being humble, wanting to improve, wanting to grow, wanting to heal, recognizing that there's something that you could do better with your child, recognizing when you've messed up and owning up to it, that's a very clear statement to yourself that you are indeed breaking the cycle of pain that you have seen in your family growing up. You are doing the inner work necessary to impact in a great way, not only your children, but also the next seven generations after you. And this is such potent work, and I really honor you for that. This is like the most potent thing you can do in life. And if you have listened to this episode because you were interested, but you actually don't have children, maybe you don't yet have children, or maybe you don't want to have children, that's totally fine. It's not only about your own children, it's about how you relate with others anyways. You know, all of those points can be translated also in relating with others, owning up and apologizing and lovingly inquire about how your actions made someone else feel and understand that your action impact other people's life, and labels are like not a nice thing to stick on to people and so on. That helps you in every relationship anyways. So I honor you for that. I want to thank again the lovely woman that sent the email in the first place, that requested the topic. That's a potent gift for us all. It's a potent gift for me, because by doing this episode, it made me reflect even deeper on all the things that are important to me and to my daughters in our relationship. So I am very grateful from a personal place, and I'm also grateful on behalf of all the women listening to this that are gonna take bits from this episode and they're gonna find the difference in the relationship with their own children. So thank you. And again, keep sharing with me, keep reaching out. It's wonderful and totally appreciated. So with that, I'm going to leave you and send you lots of love. Bye for now.